following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, 17th Chapter, text number 8, given by Srila Rindasrup Das on April 6, 1993, in Philadelphia.
The reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, 17th Chapter, the Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. This morning is text number 8. Translation. The goddess Aditi said, O Master, and enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, O infallible and most famous person, whose name, when chanted, spreads all good fortune, O original supreme personality of Godhead, supreme controller, shelter of all holy places, you are the shelter of all poor, suffering, living entities, and you have appeared to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us and spread our good fortune. To the Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of those who observe vows and austerities, and it is he who bestows benedictions upon them. He is worshipable for the devotee throughout the devotee's life, for he never breaks his promises. As he says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. The Lord is addressed here as Achyuta, the infallible, because he takes care of his devotees. Anyone inimical to the devotees is certainly vanquished by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is the source of the Ganges water, and therefore he is addressed here as Tirthapat, indicating that all the holy places are at his lotus feet, or that wherever, whatever he touches with his foot becomes a holy place. Bhagavad Gita, for example, begins with the words Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. Because the Lord was present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it became a Dharma Kshetra, place of pilgrimage. Therefore, the Pandavas, who were extremely religious, were assured of victory. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays his pastimes, such as Vrindavan or Dwarka, becomes a holy place. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is pleasing to the ear, and it expands good fortune to the audience who hears it chanted. Owing to the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi was fully assured that the troublesome condition created for her by the demons would now be ended. The goddess of Aditi said, O Master and enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, O infallible and most famous person, whose name when chanted spreads on good fortune, O original Supreme Personality of Godhead, supreme controller, shelter of all holy places. You are the shelter of all poor, suffering, living entities, and you have appeared to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us and spread our good fortune. So, Sri Aditi's prayers begin, in essence, with names of Krishna, Yajnesha, Yajna Purusha, Achyucha, Tirthapada, Tirtha Shravana. And then she says, Shravana Mangala Namadeya. And to chant, to hear these names is Mangala, all auspicious. You see how she feels just chanting and saying these names. Prabhupada describes Yajnesha. He is the controller of all sacrificial ceremonies. And Yajna Purusha, the one who is worshipped by all sacrifices. He is the controller of them, Yajnesha, and Yajna Purusha, the enjoyer of the benefits. So Prabhupada is thinking here that where Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. What's the Sanskrit for that? Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. This Yajna Purusha, Yajnesha, so same thing. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. He is the enjoyer of all, not sacrifices, but tapa, austerities too. So he says he is the master of those who observe vows and austerities. And who was just observing vows and austerities? Aditi. So as a result of observing vows and austerities, this Payavrata sacrifice being performed, who appears before her but none other than the Yajnesha, Yajna Purusha himself. So therefore she uses these words because that's the way she appears. She has been performing her vows and performing this Payavrata ceremony under the instruction of her husband, and there he is appearing before her directly, and in ecstasy she's seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So now her heart is filled with joy and gratitude, and so the first words that come to her lips, Yajnesha Yajna Purusha, she's aware of him particularly as a master and enjoyer of all sacrifices and vows which she has just herself performed. So he's appeared in that context of sacrifices and vows. And then Achyuta. Achyuta means infallible. He never fails. Infallible means he never falls down or he never fails. So here Prabhupada says what specifically the meaning of this word in the mind of Aditi is that he never fails to carry out his promises to the devotees. That's also Achyuta. Because he takes care of his devotees, infallible. Because now we have to remember why she is praying to the Lord, who remembers.
Yeah. Her son's kind of got to be defeated.
By? Who are the enemies of the demigods? The demons are called Sura Dvesha, the enemies of the demigods. So the Asuras have taken over, and her children, the demigods, are all offspring of Aditi. So they're all suffering. And so for her sake, their sake, she's praying to the Lord for help. This is the instinctive activity of a devotee in distress to call upon the Lord. Just as when it's not like a material calculation, oh, now I'm in trouble, let me invoke Krishna. It's more like just a child is frightened, just runs to his parents automatically, because that's who you take shelter of. So Aditi here has gone directly to Krishna. And she can see that a benediction is here because the benediction Krishna has come himself. So Prabhupada says he is worshipable for the devotee throughout the devotee's life, for he never breaks his promises. In other words, there's no need to change who you worship. People sometimes worship people for different benedictions, or they have to change because, don't worry, I'll take care of you, and then and the crunch doesn't take care of you. And people discover that their financial advisors run out with their funds, the pension plan fails, the husband or wife deserts, parents get divorced and leave the children. All the people that we have taken shelter of to protect us, they turn out to be fallible. Bhagavatam calls them fallible soldiers. They're looking for protection and they're all fallible. So therefore people are changing all the time. So here there's no need to change Krishna. He's worshipable for the devotee throughout the devotee's life, and he never breaks his promise. And so Prabhupada next quotes the promise, a blanket promise. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. He says to Arjuna, Kaunteya, that's Arjuna's dressed as the son of Kunti. He says, you declare it very boldly that my devotee never perishes or is never vanquished. Prabhupada comments in this regard that Krishna deliberately asks Arjuna to declare it. You make this promise. Because sometimes Krishna, when he was acting as a king, was noted for being a little diplomatic. Sometimes he broke his promise. So people may object. Well, Krishna says he'll never be vanquished, but he says he'll always protect his devotees. But, you know, sometimes he's been a little tricky. Also, he's a Brijbasi. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in a commentary that Brijbasis cannot be trusted to tell the truth. Which we see even today. I had recently had one promise me he was going to dry clean some jacket of mine, and then promptly took it down to the bank of the Jamuna and banged it on stones. So when I objected to some of the devotees, I was upset about that. So he's a Brijbasi. I said, why did he lie? He said, he's a Brijbasi. So then it was pointed out to me that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur pointed out that Brijbasi. So Krishna is also Brijbasi. So for the various reasons, one may think that he may not be telling the truth. So therefore, if you may think that, Krishna says to Arjuna, you say it. Because everybody knows that Krishna may break his own promise, but he'll make sure that if a devotee promises something, it will be upheld. So therefore, he says to Arjuna, you declare it. So therefore, we know that Krishna is serious about this one, that his devotee will never perish or be vanquished. This is why we can take shelter of Krishna. We are worried about taking shelter, because if we take shelter of various people, they're fallible. And so we don't always surrender. Maybe we surrendered once or twice and got burnt. And then we make it a policy, no more surrendering. Or we prudent. We're very prudent. I'll not give everything. What is it called? Hedge our bets. or spread our investments. Just if you go to an investment bank, you have money to put into the stock market. So your investor will tell you, don't put it all on one company. That would be risky. Excuse me. You have to spread it around a whole bunch. So if one fails, the other will be okay. Or when people go to the racetrack and bet, I've heard that people that win on a steady basis, they spread them over a number of different horses. Now this is prudent. So here Krishna is asking us, when he says, surrender to me, in the Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, you know, don't spread your bets. Sarvadharman purit jaja mam ekam sharanam raja. You give up all your other shelters, dharmas that you are forming. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Come to me for shelter. Sharanam raja. Sharanam means shelter. Come to me. Ekam. Ekam means to me and to no one else. Exclusively. Not to me for shelter. So that's the meaning of surrender to Krishna. We're asked to give exclusive devotion unto Krishna, full shelter of Krishna. So we're wondering, how can I do that? The answer is, Krishna is achyuta. He says he will always protect his devotees. And it won't be that he won't be able to do it. You think there'll be a bigger power than Krishna? Krishna, even if you're a five-year-old child and you're being persecuted by the universal tyrant like Hiranyakashipu, Krishna can handle it. There's nobody that's going to defeat Krishna because he's achyuta. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's it. There's no one higher. He's the greatest power there is. He can protect you. No one else can. And he makes his guarantee. So the Lord is addressed here as achyuta, infallible. Why? Because he takes care of his devotees. So that's on her mind. All these demigods, they're your devotees. And I'm their mom. Particularly begging you. So this is her, this is why this word comes to her mind, achyuta. Anyone inimical to the devotees is certainly vanquished by the mercy of the Lord. So we see this. Not everybody may recognize this. Now, for example, take the collapse of the Soviet Union. The interesting thing is about this, is the Western world is full of Sovietologists, experts in the Soviet Union. Not a single one of them predicted the collapse of the Soviet Union. It was very amusing. During that time when the Soviet Union collapsed, I had occasion to occasionally watch some television news shows where they were interview experts and read a few articles about it from experts. And it was very amusing because they were trying to interrogate all these experts, what's going to happen next. And not a single expert who had PhDs in the subject and read and knew everything. They were all caught flat-footed. Did anyone correctly predict this? No. Not a single one predicted. Yet it happened. There was this big piece of machinery going on for 70 years, this communist system. In the process of putting it together, 40 million people were killed by the greatest piece of state machinery, and it came down. And why did that happen? They can't figure out. It's what you would say, it's underdetermined. There are not enough empirical causes to see why it came apart. Of course, in retrospect, everybody would go back and say, well, it was this or that, it was like those. But their actual reason is they began to persecute the devotees.
the devotees of Krishna, and they persecuted them. And after that persecution began, and all over the world we began praying to the Lord to protect these devotees, He made His move. So here you had the whole mighty United States and this whole Cold War going on, trying to like bring them down, contain them and everything else, and Krishna did it like that. So remember that song these devotees in Australia said, these children, please, Mr. Gorbachev, became a pop song. So that's one example. Anyone inimical to the devotees is certainly vanquished by the mercy of the Lord. So sometimes you have to wait. Krishna has His timetable. But we can be assured that He does it. So then Prabhupada goes on to discuss Tirthapada. Tirtha means a place of pilgrimage. Actually, the literal meaning of the word Tirtha is a ford. You know, a place, a shallow place where you can cross a river. Go from one side to the other. Tirtha is a ford where you can cross from the material world to the spiritual world. Of course, anywhere you can cross, but anywhere you can cross, because anywhere becomes, is able to become a place of pilgrimage. But especially those places where the Lord has appeared, it becomes a Tirtha. Holy place. Prabhupada actually gives several meanings of Tirthapada. Pada means foot. Tirtha means holy place. So one meaning of Tirthapada is that he is the source of the Ganges water. The Ganges water, Ganges is a Tirtha. So that Ganges, why is it a Tirtha? Because it comes from, flows first over the feet of the Lord. And by the way, which Lord? Which one? Over whose, which incarnation's foot does it flow?
Vamanadeva.
Who is? Whose son? Huh? Aditya's. So here you see a kind of forecast. Tirthapada. That's specifically, can be a name of Vamanadeva. Because his toe hit the shell of the universe and it cracked like an egg. And through that crack, the drop of water from the causal ocean came through, and that then flowed down among the planetary systems. First over Vamanadeva's foot, and then went down. Because it had such force, Lord Shiva broke it up on his head. And then it flows through all the different planetary systems, purifying the universe. That's the Ganges. It's not just in this place, but it's in the heavenly planets, Mandukini, Manasaganga, the different names and so on. It flows everywhere. So that's also meaning of Tirthapada. It also indicates that all holy places are at His feet. Or that whatever He touches with His foot becomes a holy place. That's what makes it. So the place where the Lord appears and has His pastime, that becomes a holy place. And we can see it is easier. We go to Vrindavan at Mayapur. Somehow or other it's much easier to remember Krishna and to be Krishna conscious. That's because there's a influence there. It is a place where the spiritual is manifest much more easily to us than normally. And here Prabhupada gives the example of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Here is a war. There's so many wars. There's so many dynasties fighting each other. So many struggles for succession. Between kings or among kings, and so many people are killed in so many epic battles. Why are we concerned with this one? Krishna is present. And therefore, we are interested. Otherwise, we have no particular interest in the history of human carnage. But because Krishna was there, it's quite different. And therefore, this battlefield becomes Dharma Kshetra. Kshetra means field of dharma, the field of religious principles. Because during that battle, Kurukshetra, the religious principles were all displayed. So that battlefield, and that's also a tirtha. In fact, we just had Rath Yatra at Kurukshetra. It was very well attended. Hundreds of thousands of people came and were building some temples there at Kurukshetra. So it's a place of pilgrimage, as Krishna appeared there. Now notice Prabhupada says, but because the Lord was present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it became a Dharma Kshetra or place of pilgrimage. Therefore the Pandavas, who were extremely religious, were assured of victory. Now Prabhupada goes back to this theme, Tirthapada. Again, there's another place where the Pandavas were protected by the Lord. They were assured of victory because Krishna was present. Where Krishna is, the goddess of fortune is there, and therefore there's always victory, morality, so on. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays his pastimes, such as Vrindavan or Dwarka, becomes a holy place. Then Prabhupada says, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is pleasing to the ear and it expands good fortune to the audience who hears it chanted. Shravana Mangala Namadeya, having recited these names, see then says Shravana Mangala Namadeya. So that's also, that's auspicious. His name is auspicious to be heard and to be chanted. Actually, when Krishna's name is chanted properly, then Krishna's presence, so that place, wherever his name is chanted, that also becomes Tirtha. When Krishna appears there very nicely. So the fact of chanting the holy name of the Lord, well, we say that, for example, here it says auspicious. And of course, in the first verse of the Shishastika, Shreya Kairava Chandraka Pitaranam, Lord Chaitanya is describing the glories of Sankirtan, Chetodarpana Marjanam. It cleanses the dirt from the mirror of the mind. Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam, and it blows out the blazing forest fire of material existence. And then this Shreya Kairava Chandaka Vitarana, that means that the holy name is like the moon, and it says it opens the white lily of good fortune, or lotus. Kairava is a white lotus, and some lotuses blossom in the daytime under the influence of the sun. They close at night, and when the sunshine is there, they open for the sun. Other lotuses, they're closed at sun, and they open for the moon. So that's the white lotus. The white lotus is closed during the day, and then under moonlight, it opens up, the night blossoming white lotus, you could call it, huh? So he's saying here, the holy name is like that full moon, under whose rays this white lotus of good fortune opens. It's very beautiful. So whatever the holy name is that opens and blossoms, this gives its fragrance, the white lotus of good fortune. So it brings all auspiciousness to everybody. He said, we also see in a similar way when Queen Kunti No, Devahuti is telling Kapila Dev. She says another couple of verses. Same word, Yannamadeya, Shravanam Kirtana, Yat Pravalad, Yat Smaranad, Apikotit. Swadopi Sadyo, Shavanaya, Savanaya Kalpate, Kuta Punaste, Bhagavan Nudarshanat. She's saying here that even a person who is born swadadaha means in a family of dog eaters, swadadaha api, that person who is born even in a family of dog eaters, anyone, even that person, but anyone who at any time hears your name, chants your name, offers obeisances, or remembers you, which begins with Yannamadeya Shravanam Kirtan. Anyone who hears and chants your name, as well as offers obeisances and remembers, any person, even a person who is born in a dog-eating family. This is the worst birth you can take, according to Vedic culture. Means people who are very degraded in their habits. Nice. Loin of cocker spaniel or whatever. So those people, Savanaya Kalpate. Savanaya Kalpate means they are eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Then she says, Kuta Punaste Bhagavan Darshana. What to speak of those people who directly have your, see you face to face. No. The holy name is so powerful that even people who are born in a family of dog eaters, that means a big accumulation of bad karma, which is called inauspicious. Those people, sadhya means at once savanaya kalpate. They're eligible to perform the Vedic sacrifices. In other words, you become a brahmana. That means lots of good fortune. So even if those people can't be elevated in that way, and what to speak of those who see you face to face, what's their good fortune? And then she goes on, Aho batasva pachoto garigyanya jivagre vartate nama tubhyam te pustapaste juhuru shasnur arya ramanuchura nama grinanti yete. It's a little shocking. Aho batasva pachoto garigyanya means how glorious is that dog eater. Swapacha, dog cooker, literally. Means one who, that one who comes in that family. How glorious. So she's glorifying now this dog eater. Gariyan means glorious, huh? The jiva gray vartatedna, on whose tip of whose tongue your name is always dancing. So then she says, how glorious is that person? Tepustapaste, that person must have performed all sacrifices and austerities. Tepustapaste, juhuvu, means performed all Vedic sacrifices. Tepustapas means practiced austerities. Then juhuvu, executed all the fire sacrifices of the Vedas in the past. You know, done all these things. Sashnur means bathed in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Arya means have been endowed with all the good qualities of the Aryans. Brahmanuchur, and have studied many times all the Vedic literatures. So that's the status of that person. So all this from so therefore the indication is there how auspicious is the holy name of the Lord, which she is referring to. So Prabhupada concludes, owing to the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi was fully assured that the troublesome condition created for her by the demons would now be ended. So in the same way, we can be assured if we take shelter of the way the Lord is present for us in the form of the Holy Name, all the inauspicious things will be vanquished. One of the verses I ran across, quoted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is a verse from the Mahabharata, Prabhasakanda. Madura maduram etan mangalam mangalanam sakala nigamavari satpalam chitswarupam sakadapi parigritam sudaya hilaya va priguvara naramatram tarayet krishna nam. He says, this Harinam is the most auspicious of all auspiciousness, mangalam mangalanam. Sweeter than the sweetest, and it is the eternal transcendental fruit of the creeper of Vedic knowledge. O best of the Bhrigus, the holy name awards liberation if chanted even once without offense, whether with faith or negligence. And speaking, we've talked about this before, in other words, even if you chant it Namadasa, if you may chant it purely or you may chant it negligently, Namabhasa, but not exactly offensive chanting, then immediately awards liberation. So that's another verse and testimony of the power of the Holy Name. I'm going to stop now. Any questions? Yeah.
Does Krishna only protect the devotee to the extent that the devotee will surrender?
Sometimes he does better. Yeah, he protects. He protects, but everyone gets protected. But how what he protects a devotee is to bring them back to Godhead. So if one has not fully surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna protects them by manipulating the material energy in such a way that they surrender. So often his protection doesn't look like protection. That is to say, he makes people's material lives miserable. He makes their business fail. He destroys their material attachments, makes their families hate them. So finally they take shelter of Krishna. This is also protection. It is.
Sometimes I've heard the Lord's quote that if you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 100 or 1,000 or
9,000
steps towards. Is that true?
Yeah, it's very true. Very true.
Because it appears in Gita that he's saying, well, as you step towards the next, it's kind of like.
Yeah, but our steps and his steps are different. He does, as I. But he reciprocates, according to the devotee. Now, his reciprocation is much more than we give him. But he certainly appears that way. If we pay attention to Krishna, Krishna pays attention to us. Well, actually, he's always paying attention, but we're not aware of it. But if we sit and chant japa and we simply pay attention to the holy name, then we become more aware that Krishna is paying attention to us. And therefore, there's a reciprocation just in that chanting. And the more we pay attention to Krishna, the more we become aware that Krishna is paying attention to us. And then finally, when we, although he cares for everyone, he says, I have special care for my devotees. Why does he have special care for the devotees? Because they've given up shelter or everything else. He's caring for everyone, but still they want this, they want that, they're taking care of themselves, or trying to take care of themselves. So through the material energy, Krishna tries to deliver them. But for the devotees who surrender, Krishna directly takes care of them. And for the devotee, the advantage of being directly take care of Krishna is not that, you know, it's a better deal, but that he's conscious of the presence of Krishna and the interest of Krishna. He's interested in Krishna and Krishna's interested in him. Others, they have to deal with Krishna in a more remote way, because they've made themselves remote. So Krishna says, okay, you don't want to have direct dealings with me, then we'll have indirect dealings. That indirect dealing means the external potency. Direct dealings means internal potency. Daivam prakritim ashrita, he describes Mahatmas, they have taken shelter of the internal potency, whereas demons have taken shelter of the deluding potency. That's the difference. Both, in one way or other, they've got shelter, but the auspicious shelter is direct shelter of Krishna.
Are we supposed to conclude that people on South Street that just go by and make fun and they enchant or even the people who in America who come to devotional service, are we supposed to conclude that we've actually bathed in all the holy places and studied all the Vedic literature? Is it just the mercy of Lord Chaitanya?
Well, I've heard two different ideas. Yes, you have. Or, having accomplished this one thing, somehow or other by the mercy of the Lord taking shelter of the holy name, then it has to be considered that you've gotten all the other things. That's just like somebody, a genius, will be given a degree without having gone through all the steps. So, could be one, could be the other. But in any case, it is considered to have been accomplished. Those verses by Devahuti is part of the charter for the ISKCON movement. Dog eaters. You don't know what's in those hot dogs. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.